Welcome to the Holmesville Church of the Brethren. This is the worship service for March 17th, 2024. It is the fifth Sunday of Lent. Join in our call to worship. Why are you here? I am seeking God with my whole heart, with my entire mind, with a fire burning in my bones. I see it. You're in the right place. This is God's house. The door is open to you. Let us worship God. Let us learn from the Spirit. Amen.
This place where we are meeting, only a house, the earth, its floor, walls and a roof sheltering people, windows for light, an open door. Yet it becomes a body that lives when we are gathered here, and no from afar, stars that are falling, sparks that are sown in us like seed, names for our God, dreams, signs and wonders sent from the past are all we need. We in this place remember and speak again what we have heard, God's free accept bread at his table, broken and shed a living sign. Here in this world, dying and living, we are each other's bread and wine. This is the place where we can receive what we need to increase. Justice and God's peace.
Teaching God, we want to learn your ways. We want to learn the ways of forgiveness. We want to learn the ways of grace. We want to learn your ways of love. God, we want to learn your ways. Meet us here. Speak your truth. Help us listen. Amen.
Love is this, oh my soul, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul, what wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. When I was sinking down, when I was sinking down, when I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul,
Today is a blessing for when you need to forgive. It's from the new book, Have a Beautiful Terrible Day, by Kate Bowler. We are trapped, Lord, in this world of shadows. We stand over reservoirs, cracked and dry, familiar with the emptiness that confirms something in us. Nothing grows here. Love, forgiveness, reconciliation. It would be easier to imagine the suspension of the laws of nature, gravity moving up instead of down, our feet suddenly suspended above this dust, than imagine anything beautiful after everything that has happened. Everything they've said, everything they've done. Impossible. We bristle at even the thought of this place renewed, the trickle of water, the return of birdsong, waters bubbling up from the deep, the restoration of our souls. Lord, it is not a failure of our imagination. The world runs on cause and effect, eye for an eye and the righteous assurances of the newly blind. Why put yourself out there? Protect yourself. They don't deserve you. They're right. This kind of love would be beyond reason. If you were to do something, anything, after all of this, it would take a miracle. Jesus, you place forgiveness at the center of the healing of the world. Somehow you could murmur, forgive them, to your enemies and comfort to your friends even before the undoing of evil in the resurrection was in view. But you look at every shadowed place, every empty heart and brittle hope, and plant in us a seed of wonder. Could something new grow here amidst the rot and ruin? Something that safeguards our hearts and risks them all at once? Restore us. Renew us. Begin where nothing grows. Amen. Our scripture today is Matthew 18:15-22. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. There is a scene in the movie Spider-Man where Peter Parker's Uncle Ben tries to have a talk with him. Uncle Ben tells Peter something like this, Peter, these are the years when a man changes into the man he's going to become the rest of his life. Just be careful who you change into. This guy, Flash Thompson, he probably deserved what happened, but just because you can beat him up doesn't give you the right to. Remember, with great power comes great responsibility. Now, if you have seen the movie, you know that Peter isn't really listening very well at the time, but later those words come back to him. With great power comes great responsibility. I think this is kind of the same talking to Jesus is giving to Peter. Remember, Peter has had his mountaintop moment where he tells Jesus, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is handed the keys to the kingdom, and he is told of binding and loosing things on earth and in heaven. And if that isn't great power, I don't know what is. And Peter has had an extremely uncomfortable moment, one he would be glad to forget, when Jesus rebukes him for tempting him away from God's path. Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And now Peter is trying to clarify Jesus' teaching. He wants to make sure he has it right. Because after all, with great power comes great responsibility. Now, the first century rabbis taught that one should forgive three times. Forgive and forgive and forgive. That number was based on the book of Amos, where God said he would forgive three times the sins of such places and peoples as Damascus, Gaza, Tyre, Edom, Ammon, and Moab. The rabbi's logic was that no one ought to be more forgiving than God. So Peter probably thought he was being more than generous when he proposed forgiving seven times. After all, he was doubling what the rabbis taught, and he was throwing in an extra forgiveness for free. He wants to know the limits of forgiveness, for surely there must be limits. But Jesus shocks Peter with this answer. I tell you, not seven, but 77 times. Some translations say 70 times 7, 490 times. Either way, it is a ton of forgiving. And unless you are better at keeping track of such things than I am, it is an endless amount of forgiveness. With great power comes great responsibility, Peter. I have told you I will build my church upon this rock. Now you need to know what that entails. Ask anyone. Forgiveness is difficult. Even in the church, maybe even especially in the church, forgiveness is difficult. That's why Jesus taught a method of reconciliation for the church. But even so, even with the directions given, relationships are hard to build up, difficult to maintain, and easy to let go of. People are easily offended and slow to give grace. It is easier just to move on. That is why we have so many different denominations. It's hard to work on relationships and live around those folks who offend us. Much easier to form our own church. Let's go. That is why I have been so impressed with the grace giving here at Holmesville. Things are rough, numbers are small, and financing ministry is a stretch. And now your pastor is leaving you. But I see you hanging together, loving one another. Keep it up, folks. That is what the kingdom is supposed to look like. It is just at the time when it is most difficult that the most grace needs to be given. I have read research that indicates that forgiveness is not a one-and-done process. Since we are human, and it is hard to let go of a grudge, we need to forgive over and over and over again. And maybe that is what Jesus is talking about with his 70x7 commandment. Rachel Pia Jones, writing for A Life Overseas, writes from her own personal experience. I used to think that when Jesus said to forgive 70x7 times, he meant that people would be so mean, so sinful, that they would keep sinning against me and I against them, and I should forgive each new transgression as readily as the first. And forgiving them looked something like accepting their apology, shaking their hand, or kissing their cheek and hugging and saying, "I forgive you." That seemed challenging but easy enough. I could offer a limp hand or a sideways hug, mumble the words in a quiet voice, and move on. One sin against me, one forgiveness offered, voila, the scales were balanced, and vice versa. Until this method stopped working. Until a friend hurt me so deeply I couldn't breathe. Until mumbling, "I forgive you," didn't erase the anger, bitterness, and sick feeling. Until she bolted so quickly, there was no time for shaking hands, and I couldn't accept an apology that has never been offered. What does forgiveness look like then? Was it a one-for-one deal? Was I supposed to recall each lie, deception, angry word, hurtful action, and pronounce over them one by one, forgiven? When I tried to do that, I simply ended up in the bathroom crying. Remembering didn't help. It only increased the clenching in my gut and the raging desire to scream. This didn't feel like forgiveness. Probably because it wasn't. I had twisted the call to forgive into an opportunity to keep a record of wrongs. In the name of forgiveness, I let my heart grow bitter as I felt fresh each wrong against me. I had to learn that 70x7 doesn't mean one for one every time someone sins against you. It means every time you feel angry about that one single sin, forgive it again. It means forgiveness is an ongoing, a lifestyle, something that must be revisited and redone. Forgiveness is not a one-time event, shake hands and it is over. It is a state of being. I drove by my friend's house and I felt angry again, so I stopped the car and addressed my heart and forgave her. I heard her name and felt angry again about the same thing, so I addressed my heart and forgave her. I stumbled across a photo of her and felt angry again about the same thing, so again, I forgave her. At first, these moments of anger and forgiving came at me fast and constant. As time passed, they sprang up with less frequency, and after a few years, I rarely felt angry anymore. But still, once in a while, and at unexpected times, a surge of memory and bitterness tries to stake claim, and I have to forgive again. This is 70 times 7. Over and over and over, the same sin, the same hurt. There is no mumbling here. There is no limp handshake. There is a wrestling and a battle and an acknowledgement of the pain. And then there is a canceling of the debt that is owed, a canceling of the right to run down a list of wrongs. I'm thankful that God does not have these same issues. For God, once a sin is forgiven, it is forgiven. He harbors no bitterness, no anger, no need to revisit the pain and forgive again. I continue to sin against him, and 70 times 7 becomes a pouring out of grace. For each sin, forgiveness is available, and I drink it in, soak it up, feel the cleansing. Then I turn it around and offer it again to my friend. Brothers and sisters, with great power comes great responsibility. Let us love each other and forgive one another. 70 times 7. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we long to be lifelong learners. Forgive us for the moments when we imagine that our learning is done and we have all the answers. Like Peter, who was brave enough to ask, "How many times should we forgive?" Make us brave. Spark a desire in us to learn, and may our curiosity carry our faith into deeper waters. With hope and humility we pray. Amen. Let's join in our affirmation of faith. We believe that questions are a building block of faith. How many times should I forgive? Jesus, where are you going? What must I do to inherit eternal life? We believe that humble curiosity can open our eyes. Where does it hurt? What do you need? How can I help? We believe that God is a teacher. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Here I am, send me. We believe that faith invites our whole being to engage with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. We believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Wondrous grace to me, he hath made known. to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing us of sin, revealing Jesus through to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or but I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.
Receive the benediction. Beloved wanderer, as you leave this place, may you carry your curious heart on your sleeve. May you look for God in every face. May you find the courage to get out of the boat, to run to the tomb, and to speak of your faith. And when the world falls apart, may you hear God's voice deep within saying, "Take heart, it is I, be not afraid." You are called. You are blessed. In both your ups and your downs, you always belong to God. Go now in peace. Go trusting that good news. Amen.